You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane's not on the air today, nor is Greg. They're off today, but Calvin's in the booth with us. Angela Lang is co-hosting with me. I'm Matt Rothschild. Always delighted to be able to be on Civic Media with Angela Lang and with you, the listener, to discuss what's going on in the world, to examine what Trump is doing to our democracy, and then to also sometimes lighten it up. We're going to be lightening it up in the next half hour after at 10:30. We're going to be talking about owls. So anyone who's got an owl story, get it ready for us, because we'll be listening to some owl hoots, and we'll also be talking about owls in Wisconsin. People who know me know I'm a crazy bird watcher, and as I like to say, that's a redundancy. All bird watchers are crazy. We only differ in degree. And now we've got Civic Media's prize-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, joining the show. Thanks for coming on, Brittany.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and welcome to my tent at Oshkosh EAA.
You're at the air show. Tell us how that's going. How's that going for you?
Fantastic. Sunny, hot weather, but the rain has moved in, so everyone is trying to button down, make sure, you know, to stay dry, because there's about 40,000 of us camping out here this week. So a lot of the pilots are asking me, when is the next round of storms coming? Will it hit Oshkosh? So I've been very, very busy this morning trying to help them out and see if they can get their planes out ahead of it, or tie them down before the storms do come through later. But the heat, we still have to get through that today. Oh my gosh, a heat advisory from Eau Claire to Green Bay and south. It's going to be in the low to mid 90s for many, many places, feeling more like 100 to 105 degrees. Oof. So tons of water. I am loading up, trying to stay hydrated out ahead of this. Stay cool, you guys. Get in that shade. Stay in the AC today.
Now, is this heat unusual for us in July in Wisconsin?
Well, it's summer, right? So we get warm. We do spike on occasion, but I was kind of doing some research on how many days we're actually hitting these 90s and above. And I was trying to see some trends and spikes. And it's hard to really pinpoint, say, today to 50 years ago, how many more do we actually have that are above 90 degrees? And it goes up and down, up and down. But one of the trends that I noticed is the ups are going up and up. They're getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And they're not only happening during El Nino years, where Wisconsin normally feels an even warmer summer, they're happening in La Nina years. So these are two major things that I'm seeing just flaring at me, and it's going to get warmer and warmer as we progress. And, you know, even forecasters and data and everything saying that 90 degree plus days, they're going to triple by 2050.
Oof. And, wow. And that's because of climate change, right?
Oh, sorry, I've got tons of helicopters flying above me. What'd you say?
I say that trend is because of climate change. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's but it's not real, apparently.
It makes me.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, the Trump administration is cutting back on getting rid of the climate change scientists, cutting back on research and other programs into climate change, cutting the budget for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The last thing I heard last week was that they're cutting even flash flood research and notification programs, even after the disaster in Texas. What's your reaction to all these cuts?
Very, very aggravated, because this is so important. This is the public safety. You know, we're here to help serve the public, keep you safe, keep you informed. We can't do that without research. We can't do that without people. We can't do that without the young generation trying to get into this as well. You know, even here at EAA, I have come here for 5 years in a row, and there's always been a National Weather Service and NOAA booth. I always go over there and chat with them. Guess what? They're not here this year. Mm-hmm. They're not here. There's a whole federal section, NORAD, other government areas no National Weather Service or NOAA. That breaks my heart. I found one guy who was hanging out there who was helping forecast for this event, but they are so short-staffed. Personally, I have friends that have got promoted to chief officer in their National Weather Service locations, and they've got three people working underneath them. That's not enough. It is a stressful situation already when hurricanes and floods and tornadoes are ongoing. One person alone, three people, that's not enough to have eyes on that storm and keep the entire public safe. So this is scary. Long story short, it's scary. It's dangerous. It's concerning. My National Weather Service friends are on burnout already. They're getting very, very tired. They are helping each other out. So we've got offices in Iowa helping Wisconsin. Wisconsin's helping Kentucky. I mean, they're struggling. So it's frustrating.
Yeah, I had to wonder about what morale is like with meteorologists when you get together or when you're on group chats or whatever. There must be a lot of commiseration going on.
Yes. And what was I going to say? It's kind of like, it's hard to find the words because you can't say too much. But it's just scary because, like, let's say you wanted to switch fields or, you know, I wanted to always do research. That is amazing to me and so interesting. Now I can't. You know, people still in the industry are now
Brittany, we're losing
us, and we've worked our whole lives for this. We're passionate.
Yeah, the audio unfortunately is breaking up. I think we're going to have to say goodbye, but I want to thank you for joining Matt and Aaron on air today, and have fun at the Oshkosh Air Show at EAA.
And stay hydrated.
Yeah, stay cool.
Thank you. Will do.
All right, take
Thanks,
care.
Guys.
Yeah. Thanks.
What a treasure Brittany Merlot is for Civic Media to have. But yeah, I was just wondering what is, you know, what do meteorologists talk about when they get together, given the savage cuts that we're seeing out of the Trump administration on climate change research, on flood research. And, you know, this is why we have government. I mean, we have government because, you know, we can't do it as individuals. We can't go get, you know, our Doppler radar or whatever it's called these days and figure out, you know, next hurricane is coming, when the flood is likely to surpass the river, surpass its banks and all this stuff. Tornado
and it
warnings.
Shouldn't be political, like, no, at all. Like, it's weather. We're talking about alerting people so people can stay safe, so we can avoid these disasters as best as we can. You know, natural disasters are going to be, Mother Nature's going to be what she's going to be. But, you know, it feels, again, I sound like a broken record. It feels cruel to even be cutting researchers of weather that keep people safe. And for what? You know, there's no other reason to, outside of people wanting to be cruel. People just want to do whatever they want with no accountability and just further, I think, just terrorize this country. Again, it's weather. I don't understand how this has become a part of the Trump administration and on the chopping block.
I mean, the cruelty is astonishing. The callousness is astonishing. And so is the crudeness. I mean, what Doge and Elon Musk and those young troopers of theirs, tech troopers, are doing, they're going through government contracts. They're searching for words like climate change.
Yep.
And then any grant that has anything to do with climate change or global warming, they just yank it. They freeze it or try to rescind it. Same thing with DEI. Anything that mentions diversity, equity, or inclusion, anything that mentions racism, they put a hold on all those. That's their search.
It's just a blanket thing. It doesn't even make sense.
There's no case by case analysis or anything, and it's just appallingly crude. But you know, that's where we're at here. And to go after the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration as though it's something evil or destructive or wasteful. I mean, here they're trying to save people's lives. I mean, how many natural disasters are we going to have to go through in this country before people recognize that, hey, maybe it's important to fund the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Maybe it's important to spend some money at the local, state, and federal level on warning systems. I mean, that's the lesson out of those horrible floods that we saw in Texas with those young girls who drowned at camp. You know, wouldn't it cost that much to have warnings like we have here in Wisconsin for tornado warnings, where we're just blaring out of speakers all across the landscape to tell people, you know, get in your basement, and would have told people there to get to high ground. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, people, one of those county board members said, you know, I don't want to spend the money. It's not worth spending the money down there in Kerr County, Texas. Well, that didn't last, that didn't wear very well, that comment. And this is the thing. What do we spend our money on? What should we spend our money on? Are we spending money on, you know, tax breaks for the billionaires? Are we spending money on, you know, funding the oil and gas industry? Are we spending money on ICE? Are we spending money on the Pentagon? Or are we going to spend money also to, or in exchange with, you know, helping people stay safe? I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is about life, you know.
You're seriously. Take
people's lives away. And so that's the shocking thing about some of the anti-science cuts that are going on. Just the ramifications are just going to be horrible. And we've seen them already. And also, it's kind of like old Soviet-style science. You know, we're not going to do real science. We're only going to do science that comports with what our great leader wants to hear.
We're going to control science.
Yeah. and just like they want to control everything. There can't be independent science. There can't be independent thought in the academy. There can't be judges that are independent. This is what an attack on civil society looks like. Mm-hmm. Broad, all across the board. And that's what Trump has been doing. He goes after the media. He's gone after CBS. He's gone after ABC. Yeah. He's gone after PBS. He's gone after NPR. I was happy to see that Civic Media posted a defense of public media, a defense of NPR and public TV on the website civicmedia.us. You can find it there if you're listening. An important defense of public media. You know, the New York Times was writing about it as well. Of course, they're under fire, too, from the Trump administration. So these institutions of civil society are just being attacked. And then we see, you know, Colbert is being fired. Where is it going to end?
That's where is it going to stop? It doesn't feel like it will. I don't know. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, I mean, is Rachel Maddow next? I mean, you got to wonder at what point Trump is, you know, who's next in the gun sights of Donald Trump. I mean, now he's going after Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and it makes people wonder, you know, who is going to be safe in this country? I mean, first it was the immigrants, and now he's going beyond the immigrants. I mean, that's what the strong men do. That's what the dictators do. That's what the fascists do. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild, talking with my co-host today, Angela Lang, because Jane and Greg are off. We'll be back in a minute. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang this morning. Thanks for listening. The number to call is 855-752-4842. Glad to be on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we do have a caller, I understand, Kelvin. So we've got Gene. Gene, are you there? Do we have Gene? Should we wait a second, Kelvin, come back to Gene? I guess we're going to have to do that. Gene, if you dropped off and want to call back, that'd be great. The number again, 855-752-4842. I want to thank our last two guests, Brittany Merlot, the great meteorologist, prize-winning meteorologist of Civic Media. She's at the Oshkosh Air Show, the EAA, right now, as you may have been able to detect in the background. And Becky Rabatin of Independence First in Milwaukee, and disability rights organization that is helping to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is this Saturday, if you can believe it. Hard to believe that it's been around that long. I remember, and Bob Dole was the guy who got it, helped get it through to Bob Dole, and a different kind of Republican. Number one, a Republican with a sense of humor. I don't think Donald Trump has laughed once, except in a sadistic way, in his whole life. And Bob Dole was a really funny, genuinely funny person, and was tremendous on this issue. Himself had a disability. So a salute. To an old-style Republican, and certainly celebration of the ADA and its 35th anniversary. Angela, you had a story that caught your attention.
Yeah, so like while we're talking about the ADA, I'm reminded of the story that I just learned about a few days ago, actually, that there is a man in a wheelchair from Fox Crossing who is riding 92 miles to Madison in his wheelchair to advocate for higher home wages for home care workers. And I'm like, I just don't think this is getting enough attention that it deserves. But the fact that he, you know, he started Sunday, I believe, and he receives home care. And he says that, you know, his home care aid should be provided with basic dignity and independence, or he has dignity and independence, but he's concerned about some of the working conditions and, you know, what that means for his level of care. And when I worked for SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, we were having the same fight 12 years ago, trying to raise wages for home care workers who provide this critical support, and there's a shortage. And I did see that currently the average health aide earns about $34,000 a year. Roughly $17 an hour, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Hard to make rent that way.
Right. And so when you're thinking about, you know, and then you think of like Medicaid and Medicare and all of those things, all of these challenges that folks are having. And I think there's something to be said that someone that receives this level of care is also advocating for the folks that are providing this care. So I think it's a great story. He is live streaming his journey. His name is Carl. He is on YouTube under the name Quad Carl. And then there's also ways that folks can support him as well. But I think it's a powerful story. You know, we hear people that are like, I'm walking here, or I'm walking there. But I've never seen someone say, I'm going to ride 92 miles in my own wheelchair in order to raise awareness about this. And I think more people should be paying attention, including these elected officials.
Hats off to Quad Carl. You can look him up and follow his journey here. And we need that kind of activism too. And people who do home health care, home care for elderly people, people with disabilities. It's really hard work. My parents had folks taking care of them in their home. And I am also going to independent living facility in Madison to visit a friend there. And those people work really hard, and they are underpaid. And yeah, you mentioned the fact that workers are scarce, and they're going to be more scarce with this assault on immigrants, because a lot of the folks in that industry are immigrant laborers. And with Trump's, mass deportation, there are going to be fewer and fewer people willing to do that, able to do that, because they're worried they're going to be deported. And so this is the one crisis after another. There's a wage crisis. There's a labor supply crisis. The home care industry is woefully exploitative, in my opinion, of the people who work there, with the pay so low. And the work, is tough. And any of us who've been in that position with our parents or grandparents or loved ones or persons with disabilities in our families, we have to honor the work these people are doing. Respect the work, appreciate the work, and join, Carl and his quest to get more higher wages, decent wages, living wages, as they used to say at SEIU. Mm-hmm. And they're still saying it at SEIU for people in the workplace. I mean, here in Wisconsin, the minimum wage hasn't moved from $7.25. Can you believe that? $7.25. $7.25 in decades. So we need to get to a living wage here And they used to laugh when people were demanding $15 an hour, and $15 an hour doesn't cut it right now. So this is a part of the crisis we're facing in Wisconsin and in this country, just low pay work. And one of the problems with Obama was he didn't index the tiny increase in the minimum wage to inflation. So it's just staggered there at $7.25. Horrible. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm here with Angela Lang. We'll be back after the break, and we're going to get to some owls, sounds of owls, owls that you've been hearing. You can call and let us know what you're hearing or seeing, 855-752-4842. Matt and Air on Air all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today. Calvin's still with us, though, and I'm still with you. I'm Matt Rothschild, and Angela Lang still with you.
Yes, indeed.
It's great to have you. I love co-hosting with you, Angela. It's always a lot of fun.
Same. It's always good conversations, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Lord knows.
And good guests.
Good guests. Yeah, we had good guests today. Becky Rabatin of Independence First, Brittany Merlot. You know, one of the things I love about Jane's show is at 10:30, she usually says it's time for a palate cleanser or something like that. You know, a little sorbet to clear our palate from the heavy political stuff and talk about a little bit lighter. You know, it can't be politics all the time. There are other things in our lives that are beautiful and important and lovely. And for me, one of those things is birds. And as I mentioned, I want to do a little bit of owl talk this morning. And you listening can join in. What owls are you seeing? What owls are you hearing? The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can text or call. We got a text from Brad. In general, he asks, how's the great horned owl population? I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's pretty sturdy. He said we lost our resident great horned owl in our neighborhood park, Swede Hollow Park. I think that's in Minnesota, probably due to bird flu. Yeah, bird flu is a problem, especially as you get up the scale here for predators. The birds at my bird feeder right now, the goldfinches and house finches and chickadees and the titmouse, the small birds aren't being affected by bird flu as much. So you can still keep feeding your birds, but you know, the hawks and the owls can be more susceptible to it because they prey on you know, infected chickens, for instance. They would catch the bird flu that way. And a great horned owl is the king of the forest, I like to say, because it's the most it's the best hunter out there, other than like a peregrine falcon who isn't in the forest. But a great horned owl will eat anything. It will eat other owls, even. Not other great horned owls, but smaller owls. If it's
Well, the more you know. Wow.
Yeah, it's rough out there. I mean,
clearly.
It'll eat anything that moves. You don't want to be walking your little dog out there at dusk. Because a great horned owl might swoop down and take that, too. We've got the sound. I think Calvin's got the sound for us of the great horned owl. If you got it, Calvin, let's give a listen. Then it'll come back. We have these in our yard. Yeah, so this is the classic. This is the classic great horned owl sound. I live just south of Madison, 10 miles south of Madison on the Wabisa Wetlands. And so we have great horned owls. We hear them hooting usually more in December and January when they mate. They're unlike other birds. The owls mate in January, and it takes them a while for their babies to get big enough to fly. The smaller birds adapt faster and are able to get off the nest faster. But the owls take some time, so that's why they mate in the middle of winter. And they really make a racket in the middle of winter. So that was the great horned owl. For contrast, here's another common big owl that you can find anywhere across Wisconsin. It's called a barred owl. And Calvin, if you'll play that one.
Mm-hmm.
cooks for you? That's the mnemonic device. Yeah, so that's the barred owl, and we've got barred owls too in the neighborhood. And again, yeah, the great horned owl would attack and eat a barred owl.
I feel like if I heard that, I wouldn't think that that was an owl.
Yeah, it's very eerie. All these owl sounds at night are scary, kind of scary, eerie.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you were out camping in the middle of a forest somewhere or on the beach. Once you got through the portage or something and you put your tent up on the beach and there are trees all around and you started hearing this in the middle of the night, it might freak you out. But yeah. Those, they won't attack you. I mean, they're not like red-winged blackbirds that will bomb your head if you come next to their nest.
Sure.
But I wouldn't climb a tree where there's an owl nest, though. Then you'd get bombed.
Oh, yeah, but, and rightfully so. Stay away from the nest.
Yeah, stay away from any bird nest. But that's... Yeah. Yeah, that's the barred owl, which is neat. We got a text from Greg who says, have you guys ever known any blind owls? He's a blind man. I'm totally thankful for the Americans with Disabilities Act. Yes, we are celebrating the 35th anniversary of the ADA, Greg, and thanks for the text. Blind owls, some birds get blind. Sometimes, but I don't know of owls being blind. Mm. You know, there's been a disease at bird feeders for smaller birds, conjunctivitis with the house finches, for instance. You need to clean your bird feeders pretty regularly so they don't get pass disease on one to the next. But there isn't a huge outbreak of it right now, not that I've heard anyway. So there's another owl that's common in Wisconsin. It's a smaller owl. It's called a screech owl. And Calvin, we have the noise for that, the sound of the screech owl, don't we? It sounds like a horse neighing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's eerie too in the middle of the night.
It's that last part, that little like vibrato part at the end that is like, is that a horse?
Yeah, it's very strange. That's a screech owl. Now, screech owls, they're smaller. They're kind of like a almost cardinal size, except stockier, fatter. Okay. And they come in two colors. They come in orange and they come in gray. In fact, you could have a brother who's gray and a sister who's orange, or vice versa.
Oh.
So it's interesting. They're fun. They're very camouflaged next to the tree trunk. Typically, they're hard to see. They're easier to hear. I was on the porch of my brother's and sister-in-law's house in Evanston about a month ago. And it was at 10 o'clock at night. We're just having conversation, me and my wife and my brother and his wife. And there was a screech owl. We could barely hear it, but there it was with that weird horse noise. Mm. So tell us your owl stories, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The last audio I prepared for us today is a juvenile great horned owl that has an even more alarming sound. And I heard this just the other night too. This isn't my tape. All this comes from Cornell University, the best ornithology department in the country. It's kind of the mecca for bird watchers. Mm-hmm. And their website, allaboutbirds.org, you can find everything there under the sun, allaboutbirds.org. And you also get the Merlin device that you can put on your phone that identifies every sound that is out there. But let's play this juvenile great horned owl, Calvin, if you could. Ooh. Yeah, that's nasty. Mm-hmm. We have a good text, a wise text from Greg. How do you tell an owl sound from that of a dove? So what Greg is referring to is the sound of the mourning dove. And maybe at break, we'll be able to grab the sound of the mourning dove. That's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. The mourning dove sounds a little bit like an owl. People think they have owls in their yard in the middle of the day when they hear this owl-like sound. But 99 out of 100 times, it's not an owl. It's a mourning dove. So we'll try to bring that sound to you in a couple minutes. You got it? Oh. Oh, aren't you great, Calvin? Why don't you shoot? That's not the mourning dove. This is the mourning dove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the mourning dove. That last little bit was classic mourning dove. So you can see why people would think, wow, we
yeah.
got an owl right here. But it's not an owl. It's a mourning dove. I used to think mourning dove was because it was doing that noise in the morning. But
right,
was,
I did too.
That's when I was a geeky four-year-old bird watcher, and then I realized it's spelled differently and means mm-hmm. something different because it's a mournful kind of a sound. That's how the name came. It's kind of sad. That is a mourning dove. The mourning dove is related to the passenger pigeon, now extinct. You can see a memorial to the passenger pigeon out at Wyalusing State Park in Wisconsin. If you go up to the top of the hill at Wyalusing State Park, there's this memorial for the mourning doves. I mean, not the mourning doves, for the passenger pigeons. Passenger pigeons, according to accounts, used to darken the skies in Wisconsin. They would migrate through, and the hunters just slaughtered them all.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask how they got extinct, if that was also another climate change thing.
No. This was the last mourning dove, the last passenger pigeon, excuse me again. Last passenger pigeon was early in the 20th century.
Mm.
They've been gone a long time.
Mm.
And, you know, it's these extinction stories are so hard, so painful.
Yeah.
And we're at what scientists are calling the sixth extinction now, not for bird species alone, but for a whole bunch of species. So, yeah, Wyalusing State Park, one of the greatest places to see birds in Wisconsin. You can see a beautiful warbler there called a prothonotary warbler, which has a golden, orange, golden breast and head and blue-gray wings. It nests down on the water's edge there. If you go to where the boat launch is at Wyalusing State Park and in the marshes adjacent to the boat launch, you can see, probably could see today, prothonotary warblers there with their babies. And there also is a beautiful warbler. The only other place I've ever seen this warbler, I've seen a prothonotary warbler at the in Madison at the Arboretum at Picnic Point, and occasionally nests there at the marsh in Picnic Point. But at Wyalusing State Park, you can also see a bird called a cerulean warbler. That is a bluish warbler. It's got a beautiful sound. It's one of the only places you can reliably see cerulean warblers and prothonotary warblers in Wisconsin. Wyalusing State Park, you know, again, these are common goods, our state parks.
Yeah. We have a lot of gems in Wisconsin. I think a lot of folks haven't fully, I know myself, I haven't fully explored every inch of the state, but there's always good stuff to do, and especially the parks.
Devil's Lake State Park is tremendous. I have friends who go climbing there. There are golden eagles at Devil's Lake State Park in the wintertime. There are turkey vultures there right now. Mm-hmm. Peninsula State Park is an incredible state park up in Door County, where I've seen amazing warblers in May. Our state parks, our wildlife refuge, National Wildlife Refuge. I went to Horicon recently. That's a beautiful place. What do you got for us, Kelvin? Oh, I thought you had another bird. I thought you had another bird for us. I was going to cut to the bird again. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm Matt Rothschild, geeking out on birds with Angela Lang. And we will be right back maybe this shouldn't be a thing.
Mm.
Please join us right after this break.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today, but I'm doing the show with Calvin in the booth and with Angela Lang guest hosting with me, and it's been my pleasure to be able to do this, Angela, with you again. So much fun.
Been a good show. Always is. Also, like, I'm looking at the comments. Shout out to Greg, who's been talking and commenting on YouTube. We always appreciate everybody that's, like, listening, whether it's on the app, on streaming, because this is how we have conversations. You know, Matt and I kind of nerd out over birds and fascism, but we always are excited to hear that folks are listening and chiming in on the conversation, too.
Yeah, and I'd love to get coffee with you, Greg, if I'm in, when I'm in Waukesha next. I saw your note, so... you know, before we leave owls totally alone right now, I also love poetry, and I've got an owl poem by, of all people, Emily Dickinson, and it's short. This is called The Judge is Like the Owl. The judge is like the owl, I've heard my father tell, and owls do build in oaks, so here's an amber sill that slanted in my path when going to the barn, and if it serve you for a house itself is not in vain. About the price, 'tis small. I only ask a tune at midnight. Let the owl select his favorite refrain. So I hope you all have a owl selecting his favorite refrain at midnight tonight or tomorrow night or the next night, so you get to see and hear this magnificent bird. It's crazy. Owls, I love them. Great horned owl, barred owl, screech owl, whatever you got, they're fun.
So let me ask you, because I feel like there's always this question, and I think Darren, State Rep Madison, and I were talking about this one time, of how many owls would you have to see during the day to make you realize something was wrong?
Well, some owls hunt by day. There is a short-eared owl that'll hunt at dusk. That's also in Wisconsin. The snowy owl occasionally will hunt by day. But most owls hunt by night. Yeah, and if you start, it's weird. When you see animals, it's like seeing a raccoon or a possum in the middle of the day. You say something's wrong here.
You're like, whoa. So,
yeah, something's wrong. Maybe we should call, you know, animal support or something, because there's that. There's that to worry about. You know, another great thing I love about Jane's show is that they do this shouldn't be a thing. And Calvin, if you want to introduce the music, let me know. Otherwise, I'll just shoot. But I love the intro usually.
This shouldn't be a thing.
So this is a snake episode. This is from July 22nd, UPI. Firefighters in a Chicago suburb were called to a commuter train to help capture a python that got loose from its owner and slithered into a control box panel. The Oak Park Fire Department said that firefighters responded to a CTA Green Line train on a call for assistance in securing a python. The snake, named Lucius, had slithered away from its owner, and it's made its way into a control box panel aboard the train. Yeah, that shouldn't be a thing. You shouldn't
snakes
have
on a train. Okay.
Snakes on a train.
There was a movie, Snakes on a Plane. Now there's snakes on a train in real life.
Python on a train. Keep your python at home. Just
every time with these segments, I'm like, I have questions.
Yeah. What were you
thinking? Maybe they were on the way to the vet. I don't know. Do snakes go to the vet? I assume they do.
Yeah, I imagine they do. But I don't know. If you're on public transportation, you might want to keep that python securely fastened.
Or maybe spring for an Uber, you know, more of a private mode of transportation if you're carrying a python with you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of snakes.
I will take a snake over a spider, which sounds very strange because spiders are very tiny, but like I can deal with a snake. I don't like them. Also, back in, I don't know, 2004 or whatever year it was, Britney Spears made snakes cool when she had like the yellow snake around her. But like I'll touch a snake. Okay, great. But spiders and things with lots of legs. Can't do
that's
that.
Like an old country music song. I don't like spiders or snakes.
Yep.
I'm not going to sing it for you. I will not punish the listeners on Matt and Air on Air to listen to my bad singing voice on a bad country song. That would be doubly bad. That would be bad.
We want people to continue listening.
For sure. But this shouldn't be a thing. And again, my hat's off to Jane and Greg for doing that every day. It's something I look forward to when I'm listening to their show.
Yeah.
I'm sad that the show doesn't air live in Madison. I'm such a dinosaur technologically that I hadn't had the Civic Media app, which is tremendous to get. But once Jane's show wasn't airing in Madison, that's when I downloaded the app. And so now I listen to Matt and Air on Air on my phone while I'm doodling on the computer.
Because
I don't want to miss either. I think they're both tremendous, and I love everything they do with their show, and look forward to listening to them tomorrow. That's Matt and Air on Air. I want to thank Jane and Greg for allowing Angela and me to take the wheel and the mic here from them for this day. I want to thank Calvin for producing and helping out and getting all those owl sounds, which were terrific. Becky Rabatin, I want to thank. She was our guest from Independence First in Milwaukee, a disability rights group that's helping to celebrate the 35th anniversary of the Americans with Disability Act, and also prize winner meteorologist Brittany Merlot at the air show in Oshkosh. Always great to hear from her. And thanks to the texters and the callers. The great Tom Hartman is next. It's been my pleasure being with you. And thanks again, Angela.
Thanks.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.